Service of many hats that he wears in this church. We sure do appreciate it and appreciate that special. Our sister Hannah sign. That's just that's what I want when I rise. Just give me Jesus. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. I want to say God bless everybody. Thank you for your sacrifice of being here tonight. I want to talk to you on a little thought I feel the Lord give to me yesterday evening. Activating the blessing. Amen. Activating the blessing. And let's go to Genesis Chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Again, we'll have this on the multimedia. And we'll just read this in the name of the Lord. And just pray the Lord will give us, help us to see what he wants to say to us tonight.
Amen.
Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And it shall, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We appreciate this opportunity to be here, Lord. And now as we just try to break bread, Lord, of your word, Lord, we ask you to help us to receive of you, Lord, something that can be edifying in us, Lord, that we can draw and be stronger Christians for you, Lord. We love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be. It's a promise in the scriptures that he told Abraham, that he said that I'm going to bless you and thou shalt be a blessing. And you know, I'm going to ask you something. What is a blessing? And how is it that you know you have it? You know, we talk of it many times. We'll say, God bless you, or that was a blessing, you know. And to me, what really to have a blessing is to have a favor with God. It's when God has given you his favor over something. And Abraham had favor with God. Amen. And, you know, I was reading a quote, and I wish I would have brought it with me. But brother, if you look through this through the search, you'll see Brother Grimm talks about it several times of this same thing I'm talking about. But in particular, he was talking to a man that needed healing. And this man went through the prayer line, and Brother Brennan prayed for the man. And he said, talking to people, said, do you believe that you're healed? I said, oh, sure, yeah, we believe that we're healed. And he looked at that brother, and he said, now, brother, you've got the blessing. He said, but you may not feel it. He said, you may go 2 weeks and not feel it. He said, but the blessing is still there. And you know what, there's many times that whenever someone says that, sometimes we've talked to Brother Tony's mission, I think this year recently, about the little boy that sat in the boat with the old man. You know, the boy went to the Sunday school teacher and said, can I see God? I want to see God. And no, son, you can't. Go to the preacher. Can I see God? No, son, you can't. Talk to the old man in the boat. And the man said, son, that's all I've seen is God in the last 40 years. And, you know, the boy wanted a God with skin on it.
Right.
You know, and that's sometimes that's what we feel, and sometimes we say, do you have the blessing of the Lord upon your life? And sometimes it would be nice to have a God with skin on it, so to speak. Right. Something tangible. This was a promise by God that he would bless Abraham, and Abraham would be a blessing, but this was by faith. Right. And it was by there was no membership card that was given to Abraham. There was nothing tangible that God gave to him, like a stick or a rock or something, and said, Abraham, as long as you hold this in your hand, you've got the blessing. It was literally by faith.
Right.
This was a man that was a Gentile, that was not serving God. He was serving false gods, and God called this man and said, Abraham, I'm going to do this in your life. It wasn't Abraham looking for God. It was God come looking for Abraham. And he said, Abraham, this is what I'm going to do in your life. I am going to put this blessing in your life. And the thing I really want to point out to you, he didn't have anything physical that he could hold on to prove what he believed. He had to walk by faith. And many times we've been called to the Lord. Lord has called us to repentance. God has called us to the Word. God has given us a message of the hour that we value and we cherish. And if you talk to some people, you say, the message of the hour, they look at you like you're strange. And I did too at one time when someone talked about the message of the hour. But it's something that we are walking with, and we're saying God is going to do something in our life. And Abraham, ultimately, he didn't know this at this point, but he was going to receive a body change. But if you notice, he didn't tell Abraham, I'm going to give you a body change. He didn't tell him that. He just said, Abraham, follow me. You just go with me, and I'm going to bless your life. And so that's the point I really want to hammer down that we can put in our tool belt is remember, Abraham didn't have anything tangible that he could hold on to. It was literally, he heard a word. And this word was all he had, and he had to walk by faith with that. And I believe with all my heart, it got discouraging sometimes. There was times when Abraham absolutely heard from God, but it got discouraging sometimes. And there's sometimes in the walk of the believer, whenever all you have is a message, all you know is the experience that you met with God, and you can try to explain that experience to God the best that you possibly can, but you have to really be able to experience that yourself to be able to understand that type of fellowship. You take a woman that's given birth, she can talk to a girl that's never a young lady, that's never been given birth, a young young married couple, perhaps, that she's never had a child. She's never been experienced that. Well, that mother that wants to talk to her, she can say, well, when you see that baby for the first time, when you do this, when you, all the emotions that you feel during pregnancy, she will experience it from a little bit. She'll say, oh, yeah, I kind of understand that. Oh, yeah, I'm excited about it. But it's very limited on how she can receive what she's trying to talk, what that mother is trying to talk to her about. But you let that young lady, through the change of life, be able to receive the seed from her husband and let her give birth. And then let her talk to that mother, talk about that same experience. Remember when I said the first time you see the baby, it's a light in her. I said, yes, I know what you're talking about. Before, when you told me that when I see that baby for the first time, I thought, wow, that's awesome. But I'm here to tell you something. The first time when I was going, when I saw the baby, when I saw the, when you see a child and you see it for the first time in their eyes, it does something to you. Why? It's a first-hand experience. And Abraham, this was a man that was walking with God, and this is something he never heard of this before. He had never heard of that God's going to do these things in his life, but it was a walk of faith. There was the only sign that Abraham ever had was when he obeyed God, God would speak to him. And you know, and for us, brothers and sisters, the real sign that we are walking in the blessing of the Lord is when God speaks to us. Because you know, we can have the tangible blessings, but if God doesn't speak to us, and God will speak to you through the word. Yeah. And that is the absolute blessing. We're talking about activating the blessing. Now, the seed of Abraham, it's by faith, it's a seed by faith when we believe the word, but just having the blessing, you know, you can have it on you, but there's no manifestation. The manifestation, activating that blessing, is whenever God can speak to you and this word becomes alive to you. Right. Is that right? It becomes a deeper revelation to you. I believe the greatest blessing a person can ever have is when God speaks to you. Abraham had the blessing, but it had to come to a place in his life where this blessing could manifest. And it was under an unconditional covenant that And that didn't, just because he was under this unconditional covenant. Remember, God said, I swear by myself, because anytime I let man try to do it under conditions, he falls. Like Adam, he fell, which we know he stepped down for transgression for Sarah, but he fell. Anytime God put a covenant where, man, if you obey this, if you'll do this, I'll keep you in my covenant. Man has always failed, but God made this covenant himself. He said, I swear by myself that this is going to take place. But you know what? Even though God did that, whenever he called Abraham, Abraham had to leave Haran. He couldn't just continually say, well, I'm walking in God's blessing. I'm walking in God's blessing. God called me. God called me. Because that's what a lot of people do today under the message of the hour even. They say, well, I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. I'm predestinated. I'm going to go in the rapture. I want to do that. But let me tell you something. If Abraham didn't leave Haran, and if Abraham didn't start his journey, it was him walking the journey, walking with God. That was evidence that God was working in his life. That was evidence that he was walking in the blessing. And there must be an evidence that we are walking in the blessing of the Lord. And that evidence is when this word, whenever we are walking with this word, and this word is we are becoming one with this word. I love the scripture when Jesus said, let us be one. Let pray that we can become one with this word. Jesus was the word. Is that right?
Right.
It's when the bride is becoming one with the word. But Abraham had to start walking. He had to start doing something. He couldn't just say, I'm walking in the blessing. I've got the blessing. Because a lot of people have been doing that, and they did it for 40 years.
That's right.
Walking in the blessing. Tell me that wasn't blessings. Manna coming from the sky. Shoes never wearing out.
Right.
See, these were blessings. Now, if you was to take that typology of today, people would say, I am blessed of the Lord. My shoes don't wear out. My financial needs are met. My food is on the table. I'm walking in the blessing. Yeah, that happened to them. They walked for 40 years and died in the wilderness. We got to have more than just God meeting tangible needs. The true evidence of the blessing is when the progression of the light was moving forward, they walked with that light, because there come a time, you know, God called them out of Egypt. Praise God. God calls people out of sin. So praise God. Calls them out of denominational teaching. place with the word. I love that how Brother Brim says Joshua parallels Ephesians. Ephesians parallels Joshua. Because as in Ephesians, God put gifts in the church of pastors, teachers, and evangelists, oh, and so forth down. What were they for? To positionally place the church, positionally place the body through the word. God is going to positionally place them in it. And in Joshua, what did he do? They had to go into the promised land. They had to take what was theirs. God gave it to them and positionally placed them in their land. And that's what God desires with the believer today. He desires to see us positionally placed in the word, where we take what is ours. You know, those enemies, whenever they went to go take their land, they didn't say, oh, you're a message believer. Let me get out. Let's pack our stuff and get out of this land. They didn't do that. They made them fight for it. And listen to me, you will have to fight for your victory. You will have to take what is yours. God will give you the blessing, but you've got to go take it. Is that right? He said, I'm giving this land to you. But they couldn't just stand there and say, in Joshua 1, I love that. He said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. You go forward and you go take this land, and you will be successful. How are you going to be successful? Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. You walk forward. You know, I love that on a horse. We used to have one named Blaze. He was a thoroughbred horse, and he was so fast, he pulled me out the saddle if I wasn't holding on to him. That's a true story. But Blaze had these blinders on the sides of his eyes. And the reason he had those blinders on the sides of his eyes is because he will get distracted and go somewhere he don't need to go. That horse, I needed him to be focused on where I wanted him to go, brother and sister. And that's the way we got to be as believers. If you want to overcome, if you want to win your race, you have got to put the blinders on. You are obligated. Amen. You got to have the word. You got to have the message on both sides, because you will become distracted if you don't. But if you will hold that focus and say, God, what is the ministry? What are you trying to tell me through the ministry that you've given me? God has got a provided way. He has always had a provided way for his people to overcome. And the way God does that in this hour, God has given a five-fold ministry. God has given us the message of a prophet. He's given the pastor that will bring the bread to you. And whatever we got to do to receive God's provided way, that's what we got to take on a daily basis every time it's given. And we got to protect ourselves. Amen. But you know what? If it's given to us and we ain't doing nothing with it, what are we doing?
Right.
We can't just go in there and say, I'm going to fight this battle my own way. I'll do it on you. That's the mindset of the day. I'll do it my own way. You can't do it your own way. You've got to come God's way. And when you come God's way, you will be prosperous. You know what? There's a lot of land that's been given to us that we're not taking it. And I want to see more of the believers taking it and footsteps his possession. That means whenever you've got to say, boo devil, this is mine. Peace is mine. Joy is mine. Holiness is mine. Because that devil will try to creep in. What's he trying to do? Snuff out the life where we're just coasting by and just going to church. Satan's ultimate desire in a believer in a message church is to make it a lukewarm church, where you just go to church, you just sing a special, you just take up an offering, you just go to service, and then you go right about the same old life you've been living. But there should be a progression of holiness. There should be a progression of the Spirit of God in the believers on a daily basis, where we're fighting our battles. And when we're fighting our battles, we come to church and we hear the word, and we take that word and apply it to our battles. We have battles. Who has got battles?
Amen.
We got battles. We got enemies. But we must be focused on that. When we come to church, we should be focused on with the mindset that I have got to win these battles. God, I need victory. I want victory over my neighbors. Not to defeat my neighbors. I want my neighbors to be victorious. God, I want victories over my family. I want victory, God. I want more of the word, God. Open the word more to me. It should be a mindset of the believer. But you know, a mindset is one of the most powerful things, one way or the other, there ever could be. I saw a deal yesterday, the day before, that someone put that said that this boy that was
I may not get it exactly right, but I'll get it close enough to get the point across. This boy did not do well in school. Did terrible on tests, did terrible in school, and all these things. Just was doing nothing in his life. He took his ACT test, and almost as high as you could possibly get on the ACT, he got that. It was like maybe 60 points less, or 40 points less than perfect. And this boy took that AC test, and they said, this must be a mess up. And this boy that did absolutely terrible in all of school, never progressed in anything in his life. And all of a sudden, he took this ACT test, and got this almost perfect score. He took another test for a college, for this college, got inside this college, absolutely exceeded, got inside the college, got a good job, promotion, real quickly. And then kind of find out, he got a letter in the mail that said this was a mistake on your ACT. You only got like a 480 or 500. The boy still had the job.
That's right.
The boy still accomplished in college. You know what changed? His mindset. Amen. He started approaching life that I had got almost a perfect score into that. And so whenever he went into his battle, when he went into his test, he went with the mindset, I'm an overcomer. He went with the mindset, I don't care how many times I fell. I don't care how many times I fell on my face. I got almost a perfect record. And when he went with that mindset, he was slaying giants left and right. And brother and sister, that's the way we have got to approach this battle. You got to approach this battle. God has given me a perfect record. God has wiped my slate clean. Everything that I've ever done wrong, whether it was by mistake, whether it was by iniquity, whether I did it in my own doing, whether I was slacking, because of the blood, God has given me a clean slate and a clean record. And now when you fight your battle, fight that battle with that mindset. I have been purged by the blood of the Lamb. I have been purged. He was bruised for my iniquities. He was, by his stripes, I am healed. It don't matter what the battle is before me, I am going to fight this battle with the mindset that I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I'm forgetting those things that are behind me, and I am reaching forward to all these things. And every time I hear a word preached, that word's for me. Praise God, that's for me. This battle's for me. This battle's for me. And when a brother and sister, when we will walk in that, and we will present an atmosphere around us, and other people will get caught up in it. You know what? Whenever you start working, you have a bunch of deadbeats sitting around, and they ain't doing nothing. You let one person get up and start working. You watch everybody else. They'll start, whether it be absolute shame or what, they'll get up and they'll start doing something. Some of them may do just a little bit, and they may barely get a broom and sweep. But you know what? What are you doing? You are activating something. Yeah. And you know what? We need some more activators. We need more people that are walking with this spirit. You're walking with this word, and you're walking with a positive mindset. That my slate has been clean. I have got a purpose. Amen. Amen. We're going to talk about going on vacation somewhere. You don't have to beg that kids to get the mindset of going on vacation. It comes. Sometimes you want to push it back. Hey, we ain't going for 2 weeks. School. Focus on school. You know? But there's something that praise the Lord anyhow, right? You know what? It's a mindset. And brother, sister, we have got to get the mindset, put it back in our mind. I am going in a rapture. That's my mindset. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. But while I'm here, I may as well be victorious, right? Amen. I've got a purpose. I've got something that I'm going to do. And God has got a purpose for me. And I want to be positionally placed. I want more of God in my life. Amen? I want to reach my destination. Praise the Lord. Abraham had to walk in obedience to the voice to manifest the blessing. And let me tell you something. You want the blessing? Walk in obedience. That's exactly right. I want to start right here before we go a little further. We live in a world today where it's absolutely contrary to this world to sacrifice in the right way. A sacrifice of holiness. Now, I read the scripture the other day in Proverbs. We talk about the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. And I began to think about that. What is that? What would be the sacrifice of the wicked? And you talk about sacrifice of the wicked. You look at how many times people will sacrifice. Brother talked about the story that I was going to give a story. The one that really comes to mind, Brother Tony talked about how he had to go so many hours to go to a preaching meeting. And he heard that service hearing a priest. He went back and everyone at work said, well, what did y'all do for your weekend? He said, I'm going over here and hear preaching. And this guy's like, you're insane. You went over there for preaching? He said, wait a minute. Didn't you go twice as far to go to a NASCAR?
That's right.
It was a sacrifice for the wicked. He said, Brother Danny, you're going to tell me it's wrong to watch cars go around the circle? If it comes between you and God, it is wicked. And brother and sister, there's so many times in this life, in this world, people will do tremendous sacrifice, but it's for the wicked. They'll sacrifice to do something wicked. But where is the sacrifice to serve the Lord? And I'm not talking about people just missing. That's not what I'm talking about. Don't let the devil get in your head. Okay? I'm talking about on our daily walk, there should be a sacrifice for holiness. There should be a sacrifice. I want the presence of God in my life. Because if you want more of God in your life, you've got to do the sacrifice. Even in natural, it shows you, even in natural common sense, if you want to get in good shape, you've got to do the sacrifice. Whenever you do the sacrifice of cutting back on the brownies, cutting back on the cake and the ice cream, I'm really preaching on myself tonight because I had my wife go get me some ice cream this evening. If you want that, if you really want it, you gotta make the sacrifice. I remember as a young man when I began to lift weights, and I had what you call the old country boy stoutness from building fences and doing all these things. But I remember when I started the gym, and I said, you know what, I really want to do this. What I did, brother and sister, I had a vision in my mind of where I wanted to be. I saw my chest, I saw my stomach, I saw the shoulders, I saw the arms, I saw these things, and that was my target. That's what I wanted to be. And I knew if I'm going to do that, I've got to do this. I've got to do this sacrifice. I've got to do this. There's things I've got to do if I ever want to match that image. And God has got an image in his mind of absolute perfection and holiness. And if we want that, we've got to do the sacrifice. Now, it's absolutely the Holy Spirit that does inside you and you surrender. But brother and sister, there's things you do with this. You bring this under subjection to the Word. Because we can go through life and say, well, it's got to be the Holy Ghost that does everyone work anyway. No, you've got to do sacrifice. Because when you do sacrifice, God will bless you. It activates the blessing of the Lord.
Amen.
Wives, or husbands, you want to activate the blessing in your marriage? You do something a little more special, and you'll activate the blessing. Cook the special cake or the special pie. It activates a blessing. You want the pretty dress? Cook the pie. Amen. If you want this special blessing, you do something for God. You start sacrificing the time for God. Not for the motive that I want this, but it's a reciprocation. Whenever you sacrifice in a marriage is about sacrifice.
That's right.
Relationships is about sacrifice. If you got a buddy and y'all are buddies and you only do what you want to do and you don't want to do anything they don't want to do, you watch and see, and you won't be real close buddies very long. You'll be a very limited capacity. And I'm talking about us walking with the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. It is a sacrifice. That's right. As I told Brother Tony, I said, a sacrifice wouldn't be like if I had a cup of stale water sitting on my table, I'm going to throw in the trash can. I said, you know what? I'm going to give this to the Lord. It's my sacrifice. That's not much of a sacrifice, brother and sister. A sacrifice is whenever it stings a little bit. Sacrifice is when it hurts a little bit. That's when it's a real sacrifice, brother and sister. And I'm talking about real sacrifice. Put this in your tool belt. Lord, help me to arm myself with the mindset. Number one, the mindset that I've got a clean slate. The other thing, a mindset that I want to sacrifice for the Lord. I want to consecrate time for the Lord. And you watch, see how God will do that. What God will do with that. Amen. Brother Brim says this. He says, you are not saved because you are a good person. You are saved because Christ chose you. No man seeks God. God seeks man.
Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him. And if we could stop just for a few moments and realize the great importance of that one thing, that it was God who chose you, not willing that you should perish, but give to you the opportunity and called you and elected you to be his servant. Well, that could be more precious. What could be more precious than that? Without you having a choice, it would be a total impossible for any man to seek God, for he is by nature is a sinner, and he has nothing within him to give a desire to serve God. How could you go to the pig and tell him he's wrong? He is a pig by nature. Could you tell him his diet is wrong? Certainly not. By nature, he is a pig. You should tell him he'd be a lamb, but he is satisfied as a pig. A sinner is satisfied as a sinner because his nature is a sinner. And here it is. We are all born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies, by nature a child of disobedience, without God, without hope, the wrath of God abiding on us. And by the love and grace of Christ, God, in his sovereign grace and his omnipotence, knocks at your heart and gives you the blessed opportunity and turns you around and sent you up the road. How could you turn that down? Changes your whole desires, turns you around, starts you the other way. Oh, you would be silly to the world, but you will be blessed in the sight of God. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, because our Lord Jesus Christ, God, my God, is amazing. And that's in communion. God chose us. Let this be the mindset. Just as Abraham couldn't stay in Haran after God calls the seed, the church can't stay in its current condition. We've got to progress forward. Amen. After Abraham left Haran, God didn't say, well, now you've got the full blessing, but it was a continued walk with Abraham. And this is the thing I want to try to really point out here, just in the last few minutes. In the walk with Abraham, I'm sure there was ups and downs. There were times whenever he sure probably felt the Spirit of the Lord. But there was a long span of time, brother and sister, he didn't feel a thing. And you talk about a mindset. Talk about a mindset. You look at how ridiculous that it looked of seeing that he was going to have a promised child. And seeing day by day, it looked more and more impossible. And maybe there were some people, perhaps around him at some point, that, yeah, Abraham, you could do it. But after a little while, the more insane that he become, the more lonely it might have felt. But the blessing was always there. The covenant was always there. But Abraham had to walk by faith. Abraham had to go through the quiet time. Abraham had to go through this time until it comes to a point where God says, all right, Abraham, it's time for a circumcision. There was really nothing for him to do with his hands until it come time to circumcision. And when it come time to circumcision, it was something Abraham had to do. Abraham had to put his hand to the work and had to do circumcision. And it was something that would be shameful. Something that would be done in private. It's nothing that you would do out in the open. It was something that he'd be so ashamed. And you know, there's times whenever the church needs to do some circumcising. It needs to do some cutting away. And a lot of times, brother and sister, the things that need to be cut away are the things that are in secret. It's the things that aren't out in the opening.
That's right.
And for Abraham to progress in the blessing, he had to do the circumcision of the things that are in behind closed doors. And brother and sister, as believers, that's what we've got to do on an individual walk. Whenever we're walking this life, if it was out here where everybody could see, that's easy. But it's the stuff behind closed doors when nobody sees. That's the part where the real rubber hits the road, so to speak.
Right.
And brother and sister, that's the time of circumcision. We know that Brother Brandon talked about how circumcision was the type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's where God recognized Abraham's faith. It was recognition of that. And in that promise, in that covenant, God gave the covenant to him. He said, and every man that's in your house, everything as it comes in your home, everything from 8 days old, it must be circumcised. And listen, catch this, what I'm saying. We've been given a word that is sharper than a two-edged sword that can cut the marrow on the bone. We have been given a word, and anything that comes into our life,
We must circumcise that. We must cut that with the word. And if it doesn't fit the word, Lord, help us, Lord, to cut those things away. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's painful. Help us, Lord. That circumcision, he said, if you don't do this circumcision, he said, you're cut off. And I said, that's the top of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the greatest thing, the showdown for between the church and the bride is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it's something that's cut on the inside. Nobody else knows.
That's right.
Nobody else knows. That's why it just irks me when I hear even message churches, they'll say, so-and-so got the Holy Ghost last night. Right. Brings such a confusion.
Right.
Because it is done in secret.
That's right.
That's right. We'll read one more quote, then we'll close. He says, it's true that Abraham, the father of faith, gave. He had the promise of God and believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. But he gave him the seal of circumcision as a sign that he had received his faith. Now, if he has never sealed you with the Holy Ghost yet, he's never received your faith in him yet. You've got some loose places, see? You might believe, yeah, but there's a lot of loose places. But when you get all those loose places packed right, then he seals you with the Holy Ghost until the day of your redemption. That's God's confirmation that he has received the faith that you professed in him. Abraham professed faith. And God said, I'll give you a sign that I've received you. And he gave him a sign of circumcision. Now, when you receive Christ as personal Savior and believe on him, ask him to clean your life up. And then, when he comes back with the Holy Ghost and gives you the sign of the Holy Ghost, then you're sealed to your redemption. Lord, I want that Holy Ghost. Help me, Lord. And I say, in the journey up to the Holy Ghost, it's a sacrifice. Whenever someone's struggling in the loose cart and the temper comes out or this comes out or this comes out, it can become frustrating because you're like, Lord, I'm trying to do the right things and these things keep coming back. These things keep coming back. What is the old man tries to stick his head back up?
Right.
The greatest victory that we can have is when that old man dies. That old man that always tries to rise up. That old man that, well, you'll go for so long, and all of a sudden he pokes his head up. You may go to the dollar store, and here he goes. He pokes his head up, and you just go right together. But you know what? If that thing will ever come to a death, when you meet the terms of the blood, you say, Lord, I want this thing to die, that you can live. You can truly be married to the Word. But that old man has got to die. And Paul said, I die daily.
That's
right. So don't think I got to go all the way back to the end. No. You got to die daily. Just like Brother Daniel. Just like Brother Tony. Brother Tony?
Yep.
Brother Tony. Because you got inside you, that you got that Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You got the real seed of God inside you. And that seed inside you, that's the one that responds to the Word. That's the one that believes the Word. That's the seed of Abraham. But you get this old pest house.
That's right.
And this old pest house will try to make you doubt. But you got to remember, God didn't call this old pest house. God called the seed, and the pest house is coming with it. Is that right? Mm-hmm. So remember that when you're fighting this journey, and you're walking this journey, and sometimes it feels so alone, you remember you don't go by this guy here because he'll lie to you, he'll deceive you, he'll tell you God's left you, he'll tell you you've lost the blessing, you've lost this. You got to go with the mindset, I have come to God's condition of his blood. God has got a condition that I've got to come to. And nothing that I can do in myself, I must surrender to his provided way of the blood of the Lamb. I am purged by his blood. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation in me. This old pest house can say all he wants to, because this guy can't inherit the kingdom of God. But there's something inside me that can.
And if you want to activate that blessing, when you want this thing to work, you keep walking in obedience to the word. And you start making the sacrifices and say, Lord, I'm dedicating this to you. I'm consecrating this time to you. And you see if God don't start doing some activating. Amen. Go ahead and stand. If you'd like to, let our musician come forth. I think I've used this analogy before, that I can go around here and go to each one of you and I can say, sneeze for me. Hold the microphone out in front of you. Sneeze for me. You couldn't do it. Sneeze for me. Couldn't do it. But there's a provided way that we could sneeze. You let me put some pepper under your nose and you can try all you want to not to sneeze. It's coming. And there's things that we can do that we can activate the blessing of God. We can hold the pepper out. There's things that we can do as far as creating an atmosphere. There's things that we can do by playing, encouraging each other in hymns and songs. There's things that we can do. When you create that atmosphere and you start playing that music that the Holy Spirit is pleased with, you watch. He'll come down just as sure as that sneeze will. And he'll come and melt them old things away. We can create an atmosphere. Take this with you. You can create an atmosphere. Whenever you start feeling like there's absolutely no blessing in my life, I feel alone, I feel defeated, I feel like I can't reach the goal, those are lies of the devil, you start creating the atmosphere. Amen. And you let the blessing, the presence of the, and he will activate the blessing that's on your life. Because remember, the person that was healed, Brother Brum said, you're healed, but you got the blessing on you. But sometimes you got to wait a little while. Them angels are watching. Them angels are chomping at the bit because they're ready to go to fight for you. But the Lord says, hold on, not yet. Those angels want to fight for you. The Lord says, not yet, not yet. Not because God wants to see if you believe. God wants you to see that you believe it.
Right.
And then God will pull us back and say, okay, angels, get them. And then the blessing will overtake you. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for just a moment. Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight and I ask you that you would touch this little flock tonight, Lord. Lord, I ask you to activate the blessing in their life, Lord. I know that you have called us, Lord. I know there's a seed in their heart, and that's why they make the sacrifices they do on a daily basis, Lord. They that are in this building, they that are listening through the radio waves, Lord, I ask you to go to each one, Lord, and help us, Lord, to take that mindset that my slate is clean. Let us go with the mindset, Lord, tonight that I'm coming God's provided way under his condition, under what you've done, Lord. And Lord, help us to go with the mindset, I am a child of God. I am your child, Lord. Lord, I ask you to meet every need among us, Lord. Walk the aisle, touch each heart.
You know, I've mentioned it before, I think, probably if I hadn't, but when God told Abraham to go up and sacrifice his son, Abraham draws back the knife and he's going to take his son's life. And the Lord says, hold it. And he told Abraham, he said, now I know, right, that you'll teach your children and so forth. And you're like, you mean God didn't know? Of course God knew. But all that happened so Abraham could know. Amen. And that's the way it is. Sometimes God holds things back, you know, just so that you'll find out who you are. Amen. And so, you know, God called Abraham. Here is Abraham. He lives in a land that is a land of many gods, right? And God speaks to him, and who knows how many different gods they had. But God speaks to him and says, I want you to leave all this and come and worship one God. In the midst of a land where their whole culture was to worship many gods. Mm-hmm. But God said, separate from that and just one God. I remember watching the movie Abraham, and they said, well, let's see these, you know, what gods. And he said, I only have one. Only one? Only one God? Yeah, that's all we need when he's as big as ours, right? Yeah. So anyway, that was, Brother Daniel mentioned it, I remembered that. So, you know, God told Abraham, he says, I want you to go out to a land that I will show you. Yes. He hadn't even showed it to him.
Right.
So said, I want you to go out, and later on I'll show you, right? Mm-hmm. And that whole that goes on and on through his life, a land that his offspring will inherit. He didn't even, the scriptures said he was a pilgrim stranger, is that he just was looking for that, mm-hmm. standing on the very ground that was going to be his, but he didn't have that as a possession at that time. But he had the promise that it was his.
That's right.
Amen. You know, we've said it many times recently, we don't want to do things our way. Now, I don't know if this is true or not. I heard a minister, a very well seasoned minister in the Message, say this. And so if this is not right, I'm just telling you. But he was saying that the song of the century, I guess, would have been before 2000. It was voted to be the song that was the title of it was "I Did It My Way." What, Frank Sinatra or somebody like that? "I Did It My Way."
Yeah.
What a song.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it my way.
No.
Yeah. We don't want to do it our way. We want to do it God's way, because that's the only way, that works. Brother Daniel mentioned there years and years ago, friend of mine that I worked with and I decided we were going to go visit Jeffersonville and go to service there. And it was like a Labor Day or Memorial Day weekend. I don't remember which one it is. But, you know, we left here. We drove all the way there to Jeffersonville, went to one service, and came back. And this friend of mine, his name is James. And I told, at the same time, that same weekend, my brother-in-law went here and drove all the way to Indianapolis, which is further, to go to the Indy 500. And I told my friend James, you know, that my brother-in-law went to that. And so somebody asked James, said, well, what did you do this weekend? He said, well, we drove up to Jeffersonville, Louisville and Jeffersonville, Indiana. And so, yeah, what'd you go up there for? So we went up there to go to church service. They said, what? You drove all that way just to go to church? And he remembered what I told him about my brother-in-law. He said, well, that ain't nothing. I know people that drive even further to go to Indianapolis for, you know. And it just goes to show you that, like Brother Branham said, we're a nut.
Yeah.
Right? But we're threaded to the right thread. They're just threaded to a different thread than we are. They'll pay that price to go watch them cars go around the track. We want to pay the price to go up there and be in service in a place that was very pivotal in bringing a message to us that has changed our lives. And so that was the story Brother Daniel was mentioning there. And so David said, and this is not a perfect quote, but David said, you know, when he had numbered Israel and the angel of the Lord was destroying, and the angel's hand was stayed, and the fellow there was going to give him everything he needed to sacrifice. Just give it. Here, David, take it. You can just take this and sacrifice. And David said, no, 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 no. I'm not going to sacrifice something that costs me nothing.
That's right.
If it don't cost you, it's not a sacrifice.
That's right.
Right? And so, but it's through sacrifice that the blessing of God comes. That's the whole thing. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice, but look at the blessing that come because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it is. If you'll sacrifice, you say, well, I come out on a rainy Wednesday night and sit in service and I was tired, I need some rest, got to go to work the next day or whatever. You may not catch it tonight, but there's a blessing coming to your life because you did. Amen. You cannot give to God and Him owe you. He will not owe you. He will pay His debts, right?
Amen.
And so go home tonight and think about what you heard. Don't just let it pass from you right now, but just think about it. Think about what Brother Daniel has said. To arm yourself with the mindset of what the Lord has done and what He's made you to be.
Amen.
Amen. And it'll make a difference. Let's go to Psalm 335. We'll sing this and you can be dismissed. We'll just sing the choruses because I think there's many. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine, and I trust Satan to get the divine. Victory today is mine, and victory is mine, victory is mine.
Today is mine. Holy Ghost, today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. Holy Ghost, today.